If we were to sing all the Christmas songs, we could just keep singing, and we could sing until noon, and we just keep singing Christmas songs, couldn't we? There's so many good songs. So many of them that we don't get a chance to sing, or maybe don't take the chance to sing more than this time of year. So many good ones. So glad to see you this morning. So glad that you could come. I know it's slippery, but I knew some people wanted to worship. And so I'm glad you made it safe. As Richard has said, we're glad you made it safe, and we'll pray for your safe return home too. But let's pray now to begin. Father, thank you. It is a glorious morning. You know it's slippery here in central Minnesota, and perhaps weather conditions are prohibiting people from gathering in other places in America. But we have come this morning, and others have gathered in other churches, and people will celebrate you in their homes. We have come this morning, Father, to worship you, to say thank you for your gift, to say thank you for Jesus. And we know he didn't stay a baby in a manger. We know he grew to be Savior, Messiah, Lord, Emmanuel. As we just sung about, to go to the cross, to go into the grave, to rise again, we know all this. But we have gathered together this morning to celebrate, Father, to celebrate you, to celebrate Jesus, to say thank you. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for all that could come. Thank you for safety in getting here. We do pray, as Richard has prayed already, for safety for whoever are traveling out here on our roads right now. And for all that have come this morning that will go back home or go to gatherings of family and friends, we pray for their safety. And we pray, O God, that this day is a blessed day for you. We pray, O God, this is a holy day for you and for people everywhere. And so we pray for other churches, and we pray for people that couldn't get to church, and we pray that you would just comfort them and guide them and encourage them right where they're at today. Encourage them, Father, in the joy of Jesus today. Guide us, Lord, as we continue to celebrate you and to say thank you for the gift of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I was told a story the other day about one of my grandchildren, and I asked his permission to share it because I didn't want to embarrass anybody, nor did I want to put anybody on a pedestal. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and didn't know how to answer, so I figured that meant yes, I'm going to tell it anyway. We'll call this grandson Tommy. Tommy was sent by his mama a while back to a neighbor lady, poor widow lady, just a little ways from their home with some cookies. And so Tommy and his sisters delivered the cookies to this poor widow lady with no expectation in return. They just wanted to get her some cookies. Just a bit later, the poor widow lady brought not one but four Christmas cards back over to Tom and his three siblings. And not only did she bring cards to these four children, each of them had a $5 bill in it from the poor widow lady. Little Tom knew that this lady was poor, and he knew that she just didn't have the means to be doing that, and he said as much to his mama. And so he went about making her a Christmas card. He went downstairs and he cut out a heart, and he began to write some things and cut out some things. He wanted to take a thank you card back to her, and so he got it all ready to take back to the poor widow lady next door. Tommy also took the $5 bill that was in his card, and he put it in his piggy bank, and he took out a 20 to give to the widow lady. He asked his mama if he could take the thank you card and the 20 to the widow lady, and he took off and delivered that. He and his sister delivered that to that lady. Tommy is 6. Now, before you write him off to sainthood, let me tell you what he did to Pa yesterday. Pa was wrestling one of the older grandsons on our living room floor, and Tommy see that Pa only had sweats on and could see his underwear, so he grabbed a hold of him with both hands and proceeded to stretch them out about a foot. And when I reached back and tried to peel him off with my one good hand, I got him off for a second, only for him to attack my back and do it again. That's the same Tommy. I guess the kids call that wedgie. Papa called it tight. I share this story for three reasons this morning. Well, four. One, to give you a laugh about my grandson. I have nine precious little bundles, and I love them all so much. I'm so thankful that, as you see Catherine running around here, she's leukemia-free. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for all of our grandchildren. But I tell you this story this morning for three reasons. One, at six, Tommy has already experienced and realized what Paul said to the crowd he was around when he quoted Jesus in Acts 20, verse 35, when he said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Tom has figured that out at six. The second reason I mention that little story to you today is if we adults have not been able to experience that blessing of giving maybe what we have or maybe giving what we don't have, we are missing a blessing from God. Because truly, as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Several of you have done many things this Christmas. Only the Lord and you, and in some cases I, know what you have done for others. And I thank you and praise God for that kind of giving hearts. But the third reason I tell us this little story this morning is because of what God has done for us in giving to us His best. Amen? I mean, you know, we celebrate Christmas and we got a lot of things to be thankful for and celebrate. And I just wonder at Christmas time, do we really ponder, do we really let it settle in what God has done for us in giving us His best? We really need to understand at this season, but really always, the value of this gift. Without it, we're a lost lot. And so I want us to understand the value of this gift this morning. You see, friends, as recipients of God's goodness and His grace and His mercy and His love, we've got the very best gift ever possible in His Son. And so, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't want us to forget this story. I don't want to forget the beauty of this story. I don't want us to neglect the gift. And so I want to talk about the gift a little bit this morning. You know what? I think about Christmas. I've been thinking about Christmas for a month. And I've been thinking about, as I read the Christmas story over and over and over in the Gospels, God didn't have to give us the gift. But He did. He didn't have to share that love with us the way He did. He didn't have to have this plan to redeem us from sin, but He did. Sherry and I get a lot of cards and letters at Christmas time, and we're so thankful for everyone. We take the time to read every card and every letter. And there's so many of them with such good words in these cards. And one of them caught my eye the other day. Kind of goes along with what I'm saying this morning. Here's what it said on the inside of the card. No room for a guest at the Bethlehem Inn. No vacancy, not even one. May He not find our hearts crowded too. May there always be room for God's Son. And I wonder sometimes if Christmas activities and programs and fun and presents and, well, then after Christmas, the credit card bills and everything, I wonder if that squeezes out of our life so we don't have room for the gift. I wonder if in America today that we get caught up in so many things that we find ourselves, Christians and non, falling into this category. Maybe we just didn't have time for Him this year. Maybe we just didn't have room for Him in our lives, in our agenda, in our schedules. And so I love what this card said. May He not find our hearts too crowded too. May there always be room for God's Son. And so I want to remind us this morning, this is the reason that He came. This is the reason that He came to earth as a baby. The Creator of the universe, who one day in centuries past, in eternity past somewhere, the Creator of the universe wants to live in the human heart. Does that boggle your mind? You can work with me here. It boggles my mind. The Creator of the universe, who said, with the blink of an eye, the sun shall shine from now on, and everything will revolve the way it does. And He created the atom and the molecule and all this stuff, and the galaxies too numerous to mince it. And yet the Creator of the universe wants to live in the human heart. That boggles my mind. And so I want to ask you again today, friends, is there really room in your heart? Is there really room in your life for Jesus? I'll get to some scripture in a moment. Let me tell you something else I was reading this week in an article put out by Eric Metaxas. A lot of you have heard that name. You hear him on Christian radio almost every morning. This happens to be in the Federalist paper, in the Federalist online paper. He describes the failing grade of American Christians. Failing in our understanding and concept of the Bible, of the Word of God, of who God is, of what He did for us, and all these things. And so let me just give you a couple examples of what he said and what I'm talking about. 7 out of 10 respondents in this large survey affirm the doctrine of the Trinity. They understand the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means 3 in 10 don't have any understanding of that. So sometimes we wonder, we'll say, I can't even understand the Trinity. But more importantly, the survey said 6 in 10 agreed that Jesus is both human and divine. That means 4 in 10 don't believe He is. Human and divine. I'm going to read to you John 1:1 in just a minute. He is God. He came in the flesh. But 4 out of 10 Americans, they don't grasp that. They don't believe that anymore. And perhaps even sadder yet, more than half in that survey went on to indicate that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. A heresy, if you like to read church history, which I do, a heresy that came into being in the first century already, first and second centuries, called Arianism, that said He is created by God. That's a heresy because He is God. And the council at Nicaea in 325 AD squashed that whole idea because there was people saying, well, He's just a man. He's not God. And the Bible says He's God. And so more than half in that survey went on to indicate that Jesus is the first and greatest created being by God. He wasn't created by God, brothers and sisters and friends. He is God. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? He is God. And so I want us to know this about the gift. It's like any other gift. You probably got some gifts today or yesterday, or you will this afternoon, or you did last week, or whatever. I want us to know this about the gift. It won't do any good if we don't receive the gift. This gift of God to humanity, called Christ, called Emmanuel, called Messiah, called Jesus, won't do us any good if we don't receive the gift by faith. Like we would open up any gift under the tree or on the mantle and tear into it and receive its goodness and its bounty. The gift of God in Jesus Christ won't do us any good if we leave Him at arm's length and we never receive Him by faith as Lord. We must receive Christ. The Bible says we must receive Christ into our lives as Savior for the gift to be any benefit to us. If I were to give you all a brand new car, which I won't, but if I were, it wouldn't do you any good if you left it parked in the garage. Let's tone it down a little bit. If I were to give you a brand new set of tires for your car, which I probably won't, because I can't afford that either, but they wouldn't do you any good either if you didn't put them on. You stacked them up in the garage. Oh, them are nice. That's a nice present, Jim. Thank you for that. I'll stick them in the garage. And they're there 10 years. They don't do you any good until you apply the tires to the car. It's the same with Jesus. The gift has been given. We must receive it by faith and put Him to work, so to speak. Put Him to use in our lives. We receive the benefit of the gift. We receive the Christ child, the Messiah, the Savior, by faith as Lord, and allow Him to be God in our lives. Let me just say this before I read a little bit of Scripture for us. Accepting the gift is not a denomination thing. It's not a church thing. Okay, we're all going to do it today. Oh, we could. It's not a family thing. It's an individual thing. Just like you were handed a gift this morning or yesterday or tonight or whatever. It's an individual thing. God has given His Son to us as individuals to receive individually. I can't do it for Tommy. He can't do it for me. And so accepting this gift, it's kind of like the thief on the cross. Remember that day that said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It was an acknowledging. He's somebody and I need Him. And he said to him before he died, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Individually, we have to receive the gift. And so I want to share a little bit of Scripture. This is from John chapter 1 today. It's not necessarily Luke 2 in your traditional Christmas Scripture, but I think it is relevant. So if you've got your Bible, I'm in John chapter 1. It'll be on the big screen. I want to share this because, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, so forgive me for that, but I want to share this because I said 2 weeks ago, I don't want us to forget the story. I don't want us to forget the value of the gift. And I don't want us to miss the gift. I don't want us here or anybody else to miss the gift. Because if we miss the gift, we're on the broad road. And you remember what Jesus said happens to the broad road? It leads to destruction. We got to get on the narrow road because it's the narrow road that leads to life. And Jesus is the narrow road. I don't want us to miss the gift. We need to understand the gift. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I know that we all know that. We probably know it by heart. But back in eternity past, when God said, let's create the earth and the galaxies, and let us create man in our image, Jesus was there. And I know that's not news to most of you, but sometimes I encounter people 20, 40, 60 years old. That's news to them. I have had people say, Jim, you're kidding me. You mean Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem? No. When the Bible says Word here, in the beginning was the Word, we'll see that in verse 14. The Word is Jesus. And when John writes, in the beginning was the Word, that means Jesus was back at the beginning with God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. They're all there together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That erases that Arianism heresy that says, well, he's just a good guy created by God, born in a manger. He is God. When John says this in John 1:1, it takes away, it erases the doubt in our mind of who He is. And the Word was God. Amen? You're tired this morning, aren't you? Had a long night, didn't you? Stay with me. I'll wrap it up here in a little bit. He, that's Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, that's Jesus. And without Him, that's Jesus, nothing was made. That's Jesus. He was at the beginning. I'll get to my point here in this John 1 in a moment. In Him, that's Jesus, was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shines, that's Jesus. Jesus shines in the darkness, that's the world. And the darkness, here's my point, didn't comprehend Him, didn't comprehend it. Verse 10, He, that's Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through Him. We've already seen that in verse 2 and 3. And the world did not know Him. That's my point at this Christmas season, friends. That the world, that we, just this little corner of the world, we don't miss the gift. All day long we can say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, Jim, I believe in God. But have we received the gift of God that is His Son? Have we received by faith Christ? That's the point. Jesus came to the world as Savior. And John writes in verse 10, He was in the world that He made, and the world didn't know who He was. I don't want that to be our case. I really don't want it to be anybody's case. I want us to know who Christ is. The Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah. And I want us to know what we got to do about it. He came, that's Jesus. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. That's tragic to me. He came as a baby. I mentioned this very briefly last night. The angels celebrated, and then the shepherds rejoiced, and Mary and Joseph, and later the wise men rejoiced because the Christ had come. And yet, as He grew, and we had this 30-year gap before His ministry started, we forgot all about Him. And John writes, because John walked with Him for 3 years and John wrote this gospel, he said, Jesus came to His own and His own people didn't even receive Him. That's tragic to me. They missed the gift. We never invite Christ. We never repent of our sin, invite Christ into our life, believe in Him and receive Him by faith. We miss the gift. We fall into the same category that John wrote about it. And they did not receive Him. That's tragic to me, because if we do not receive Him, it means hell. I don't like to talk about hell on Christmas Day, but if we miss the gift, that's where we end up. I don't want us to miss the gift. But, verse 12, there's good news. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, then John describes, who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When we receive Him, when we receive Him by faith, we are born, as John said, of God. I say, hallelujah. Of that same chapter is where John describes what I described to us from chapter 1, verse 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we, John says, we saw Him. We beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why do I mention these things this morning, friends? I read those statistics and people, sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. And I don't want us to miss the gift that God has given to us at this Christmas season. We've been celebrating this for over 2,000 years. And why do I turn to John 1:1 and remind us of John 1:10, when it said He was in the world and the world was made through Him and the world did not know Him? Because I don't want us to fall in that category. The world didn't know Him. You say, Jim, I believe in God. God. But have you received the Son of God by faith? Because James says the devil believes in God too. and soul. Let me try to pull it together for us with later on in that same chapter. I'm still talking about the gift that God has given to us. John 1, 29 through 35, John writes this. Now we've advanced 30 years in this chapter. John springs forth 30 years to the mission, the whole mission and the purpose of Jesus. John the Baptist is baptizing at the River Jordan. You all know the story. He's crying out to the people, the inhabitants of Canaan and Palestine and the Jordan River area, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he's standing at the Jordan's edge and in the Jordan baptizing people. And John 1:29 says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All of the Old Testament, they needed lamb's blood to atone for their sin. You remember the stories, right? All of the Old Testament had to sacrifice the lambs on the altar to atone for their sin. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming across the Jordan that day, he said, here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is the gift of God to atone for our sin. When he sent him as a baby, we rejoiced because he came. But he didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay in the manger. He didn't come to be a baby. He came to die on the cross to atone for our sin. And when John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that is the gift that God has given to us. And I don't want us to miss it. John continues when he said, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. What he is saying there, he was in the beginning. He was before me. He was born after. You can read all about that in Luke chapter 1 and 2. But John understands, John the Baptist understands that Jesus was God before him. And that's why he said what he said in that verse. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. And John bore witness saying, he talks about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All three in this sentence. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. The Spirit of God setting on the Son of God. I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize, that's God the Father, who prompted him in the wilderness to go start baptizing. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And John says, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Why all this morning instead of Luke chapter 2? I don't want us to miss the story. Proof of who he is. Proof of why he came. I guess to remind us of the simplicity of the gospel, the good news, to remind us to make sure we've received the gift. The gift of God is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And so again, let me say this. Like any other gift, we must receive it for it to do any good. To say, Jim, yeah, I become a member, or say, Jim, yeah, I got baptized once upon a time, or yeah, I did this, or yeah, I did that. I even get to church once in a while. That's all wonderful, but if we haven't embraced the gift of God through faith in His Son, the gift is still sitting on the mantle unused. Individually. Not denominations, I already said that. Not as a nation. Individually, I must receive and embrace the gift. You say, how? Really, really quite simple. We've got to repent of our sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've got to acknowledge we are, in fact, a sinner, or why would we ever need a Savior? We've got to repent of sin. We've got to believe, as John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, we've got to believe He is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. Immaculate conception. We talked about that a week or two ago. We've got to believe He is who He said He was. And as John 1:12 said, we've got to receive Him by faith. Just like receiving a Christmas present. Little Catherine loves to tear into Christmas presents. She'll tear into all y'all's Christmas presents if you give her a chance. She came over to our place a little while yesterday and she started pointing at, she says, Prez, ope. She's got it. You got to open up the present to get any good out of it. And that's what I'm saying this morning, friends. Don't miss out on the gift of God. Don't miss out on this gift. Believe, repent, and receive Him by faith and walk in newness of life. It's just like that brand new shiny vehicle someone just gave you. You've got to get in it to enjoy its benefits. You've got to receive Christ to know Him and to know the benefits of walking with Him. And I don't want us to miss that gift. And so I don't know where you're at. Jess, we're going to sing. I don't know where you're at with receiving the gift this morning, friends. I just don't want you to miss it. I don't want anybody to miss it. I want us to know Christ in such a profound way, it changes us. And it changes our destination for eternity. We're going to stand and sing Silent Night. If you've got any questions about that, you send me an email, send me a text, send me a Facebook message, call me. We even have phones yet. I'll answer them questions for you. But don't not receive the gift of God that is Jesus Christ. I want to say also to you, Merry Christmas. I hope that your Christmas is filled with the joy of Jesus. But until we receive the gift of Jesus, we'll never know the joy and the peace and the hope that He provides and offers. And so I just want to encourage you today, friends, don't just know about Him. The Pharisees knew about Him, but they didn't know Him as Lord. Don't be like the Pharisees. Well, oh, he knew about Him. Be like the followers that said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Give your life and heart to Jesus this season, today. Father, thank You for the gift of Jesus. Thank You that Jesus was there at the beginning with You in formulating the plan to redeem us through Himself. Thank You for the plan to redeem humanity, Father. Thank You that You loved us so much You sent Jesus so that He would take upon Himself the sin of the world, my sin, and nail it to the cross. Thank You for the gift, the redeeming gift, the saving gift of Jesus. Father, help us to be like those first century followers, like Peter and James and John and Matthew and Philip and Thomas, and those that said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I'm trusting Him as Lord, and I'm going to follow Jesus. Help us to receive this gift called Jesus, O God. Help us by faith to receive Christ as Lord and to walk with Him in newness of life and walk with You in the streets of gold someday when You call us home. Thank You for this Christmas day. Please grant safety to everyone here and everyone else traveling. Please grant them a blessed Christmas. Please comfort those that are hurting from the loss of loved ones. Please be with those that are away in foreign shores or just many miles away. Please be with those that are alone and don't have anybody to come alongside them and even say Merry Christmas today. Please comfort them, Father, in a way that they feel Your love and Your presence. Thank You, Father, for Christmas. Thank You, Jesus, for coming. Thank You for being our Savior. Go with each of us today, I pray, in this day and this week. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.